greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Claressa Shields, the two-time Olympic boxing champion from the United States. Claressa is the subject of my latest sunny side of sports blog post. Check it out. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. 3 months after making Olympic boxing history in Brazil, the 21-year-old Shields is getting ready to make her professional debut in Las Vegas, Nevada. Claressa will fight former USA boxing teammate Franchone Cruz Saturday night on the undercard of the Andre Ward-Sergey Kovalev World Light Heavyweight title main event at the new T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. The Shields-Cruz encounter will be a four-round bout at 168 pounds, 3 pounds heavier than Shields' fighting weight in Rio de Janeiro in August. In Rio, Claressa became the first American boxer, male or female, to win an Olympic title twice in a row. During a recent workout in New York City, Shields said she hopes to raise the profile of women's professional boxing.
I want to turn pro because I feel like women's boxing need it. And I just want to help that drive that we have, you know, and I want to play a role in building our platform. It doesn't have a platform right now. There are a few big names, but as far as them being like on TV or pay-per-view, we don't have anything like that. So I think that with me and my two Olympic gold medals and my amateur background, and my dominance, that I can bring that to the sport.
That's two-time Olympic boxing champion Claressa Shields of the USA, who makes her professional debut on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. Claressa is the subject of my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to another Olympic champion, Kenyan runner Jemima Sumgong. The 31-year-old Sumgong won the gold medal in the Olympic women's marathon in Rio de Janeiro in August. And earlier in the year, in April, Jemima won the women's title at the London Marathon. As a result of those two big victories, Sumgong was named the Ames Best Female Runner of the Year recently in Athens, Greece. Now, some of our Voice of America listeners might be wondering, Sonny, what does AIMS stand for? Well, AIMS is an acronym for Association of International Marathons and Distance Races. What a mouthful. I think I like AIMS instead. The energetic Andy Edwards had a chance to chat with Jemima Sumgong at the AIMS Awards ceremony in Athens. Here's Andy.
It's been a great year for the women's Olympic champion, Jemima Sumgong of Kenya. Of course, I just said Olympic champion. Started off pretty well competitively, winning the London Marathon title in April. Then came a wonderful experience for her, Olympic gold in Rio. And now, to kind of crown it off, is the Ames Best Marathon Runner of the Year award, in the female category, of course, here in Athens. So, Jemima, I just wonder, when you were starting out on your running career, did you anticipate such success?
You know, with me, I didn't expect anything for today because, you know, back in Kenya, we have many more athletes who are more talented than me. So with me, I didn't think that I will be one day, one time to be the best marathoners in female side of AIMS. But with God's grace, he really made me to be here.
So when you were starting out, and perhaps looking around at other girls and young women running, Did you think you had special talent? Did you think there were others better than you? Did you think there were others better than you when you were starting out to run?
Oh, yeah, I knew. There are more people who are more better than me. We have some sisters back in Kenya. We have some in Ethiopia. We have also some in Greece. Why not Athens? So we have different ladies or girls who can run faster even than me. It's but only when they train hard.
Looking at your overall results, you've won big races like London. You've had very good times. Okay, you haven't broken 220 yet, but I just think when you come to a championship race, especially the Olympics above all, then it's not about pacemakers. It's about coping with all sorts of conditions. Does that suit you? Are you best suited to championship races? Are you best suited to those championship races, you know, when, like, you did well in the World Championships, you were fourth? Is that good for you?
That one, I cannot say that I am used to World Championship races because I've never been to Olympic. That was my first time to be in Olympic. Also, it was my first time last year to be in Beijing World Championships. So that can never be I'm used to. But I'm used to huge or big marathons like London, Chicago, New York. So also Olympics and World Championships are the major marathons also. So it's like I have a little bit experience than ever. Yeah, that's why I won the championships.
What now? You're Olympic champion. You did well in the World Championships 2 years ago. Do you still have the same hunger? I mean, next year we have the World Championships again. Are you as hungry as an athlete?
With me, my focus is first on... after my marathon in April, my country will decide who will go to World Championships and who will qualify to go for World Championships and who will stay. So with me, I don't know if I will qualify or I will not qualify. If in case I will qualify, I'm going to try my level best to win gold in London, in World Championships.
Well, Jemima Sumgong, the AIM's best marathon runner of the year and, of course, above all, the Olympic champion in the women's marathon. Congratulations. Thank you, Jemima.
Thank you very much, sir. See you.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Tennis news now on the Voice of America. Local favorite and new world number one Andy Murray of Britain has won his opening match at the ATP Finals in London. Reporter Chris Bowers is courtside in London.
The best tennis isn't always the prettiest, and Andy Murray showed why he's world number one with a display that didn't exactly get the pulses racing, even in the British capital, but when picked apart, showed a man at the top of his profession. Murray's 6-3, 6-2 win over Marin Cilic was largely attritional. He traded punches in lots of long and gruelling rallies, moving Cilic around the court and eventually wore the Croat down. As a result, the match stats show a high number of unforced errors that were anything but unforced and highlights the danger of judging a match by the numbers. This was high-quality tennis, and with it, Murray has taken a step towards keeping the world number one ranking into next year.
Yeah, it was great reception, obviously. Really, really good atmosphere tonight. It was obviously nice to play, and, you know, in that stadium with, you know, the crowd like that, you know, it obviously helps. And, you know, after a long kind of few months, you know, it's nice to know that I'm going to be finishing the year, you know, playing in that sort of atmosphere, and it helps you get up for the matches a bit more as well. So, yeah, it was good.
His one challenger, Novak Djokovic, headlines the Tuesday schedule, the Serb facing the dangerous but physically fragile Canadian Milos Raonic. Chris Bowers for VOA Sports, London.
Thanks, Chris. From London, let's go to the Southern California city of Compton, located just a little south of Los Angeles. Compton is where American tennis stars Venus and Serena Williams grew up, and they returned to the city over the weekend. The Williams sisters had the tennis courts they once played on renamed in their honor. The courts, located within walking distance of the house where the sisters grew up, have been renamed the Venus and Serena Williams Court of Champions after being rebuilt into top condition. Both Venus and Serena were clearly honored by the dedication of the tennis courts. First, we'll hear from 36-year-old Venus Williams, winner of 7 Grand Slam singles titles.
So wonderful to see you all. It's so great to be home. We literally live right down the street, so we could walk there. But it's so important to have the support of the community. It's so important to have the support of the city and Mayor Brown and what she's doing, and also the support of all the sponsors who came in here and made it possible to have the tennis courts refurbished, to make sure that there's coaching available, to make sure that these programs go on, to make sure that sport stays here in our community, because it's a big part of bringing us all up, and it's a big part of creating positivity in young people, in the life of young people.
Applause for Venus Williams in Compton, and also applause for her younger sister, 35-year-old Serena Williams.
We are really excited to be here. You know, like Vina said, we literally lived around the corner, like literally. So just driving here just brought back so many memories. And walking out on this court, again, thanks to Gatorade, they did such a great job with refurbishing and rebuilding these courts. And so everyone here would have an opportunity to make their dreams come true, kind of like Venus and I did. So that really means a lot to us, and we're really excited to have an opportunity to be here, be a part of this, and really just kind of come back home to where we are from.
That's American tennis star Serena Williams speaking in her hometown of Compton, California. With 22 Grand Slam singles titles, Serena is currently tied with the now retired Steffi Graf for the most championships in the modern professional era. And since 2016 is an Olympic year, let's not forget Serena's Olympic achievements. She has a total of 4 Olympic gold medals, 3 in women's doubles with Venus, and 1 in singles.
G'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Golf news now on the Voice of America. The European Tour season reaches its close this week in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. The DP World Tour Championship will play its part in deciding who wins the race to Dubai and is therefore crowned Europe's number one player for 2016. Sweden's Henrik Stenson is clear at the top right now, and it would take something remarkable for him to be overturned. Yet Britain's Danny Willett in second has a chance, and another Swede, Alex Noren, after his win in South Africa on Sunday, has an opportunity from third. And there's an outside chance for Irish star Rory McIlroy in fourth. Reporter Nick Dye asked McIlroy about his chances in the race to Dubai.
I don't know how involved I am in the race to Dubai. I mean, I just want to win this event this week. I mean, there's still a lot to play for. You know, I'd love to win this tournament for a third time. You know, I know if I win this tournament, I'll get back to number one in the world at the end of the year, which is a huge incentive. So I just have to go and worry about what I can do, and hopefully that's win. And I'm sure that won't be enough, so I'll let the other boys battle it out for the race to Dubai. But you know, I'd love to get my name on that trophy again.
Does it change your attitude, your approach, when the situation is different to what it's been on other years?
No, not really. Again, I know that, you know, I have a goal in my mind that if I win the tournament, then something really good is going to happen. And this year, it might not be the race to Dubai, but it could be getting back to world number one. So it's a big incentive for me. And but it's a bit, you know, it's a big enough tournament on its own. You always want to win this one, and you know, it's the last start of the year for me. So it would make that little Christmas and New Year break just, you know, that much better if I was able to knock this one off.
You said into Shanghai that there'd been a little bit of a rust, and then you had a decent performance there. You've now had another 2 weeks off. So how is the state of the game? Have you been down here working?
Yeah, I have. You know, I've been in Dubai for the last 2 weeks, and it's nice to, you know, you always want to go out and practice a little bit and sort of keep yourself ticking over, and that's what I've sort of done. I haven't worked really hard, but I feel like I've done enough, and I sort of ramped it up from last weekend coming into this week, and I feel like my game's in good shape, and I've played this course very well in the past, and you know, no doubt I can hopefully contend again.
You've played this course already this week. How is it? How's it shaping up? How's your game on it?
Yeah, it's good. Hasn't changed much. It never really changes. It always suits the longer hitter, the one that can hit it with a higher ball flight. The greens are the best that I've ever seen them. The greens are really good this week. Yeah, the course is in fantastic shape, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see the usual suspects up there on Sunday.
It's kind of nice looking around as well. It's got a life of its own with the estate all growing up as well.
It really does, yeah. I mean, from the first time we came here in 09 to what it is today, it's developed so much in the past few years, and it creates a great atmosphere as well, especially with the people moving in and the community. You know, it really gives the tournament a great feel and a great atmosphere. So, you know, I'm looking forward to playing in front of a lot of people this week.
There are always big announcements at this event at the end of the year as well. There's been a very big one today, Rolex Series for the European Tour. What are your thoughts on that and how it ties in with your own Irish Open?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, to have a series like this where you get 10 of the best golf tournaments on the European Tour for great prize funds, trying to bring the best players together more often. And I think a big thanks has to go to Rolex for getting involved and partnering with the European Tour and making it, you know, such a unique and big opportunity for the European Tour and for the players. I think everyone's excited about it, and I'm looking forward to playing in them next year, and it'll definitely add a new element to the European Tour, and everyone in the back, you know, Keith Pelly and everyone that works with him and bringing this on board, they've done a great job, and it's a real boost for the European Tour. So very happy,
and a boost for the Irish Open, which you've been
massive,
so heavily involved.
Yeah,
in.
Massive boost for the Irish Open. It's, you know, I'm very lucky and very fortunate that the European Tour and Rolex have included the Irish Open as part of this Rolex series. These 10, you know, hopefully, you know, by the end of it, these 10 events that, you know, are played for a big prize fund in the middle of the season. And hopefully it'll play a huge part in deciding, not just the race to Dubai winner, but, you know, I feel like, you know, having these massive events scattered throughout the year, it can only just increase and create interest in the game, which is huge.
That's Irish golf star Rory McIlroy, who is currently ranked second in the world behind the Australian Jason Day. And Rory was talking with reporter Nick Dye in Dubai, where the European Tour ends this week. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Good to have you back, Andrew. What's trending on this Tuesday?
Well, we've got some viral videos and we've got some big claims. So we'll start with the viral videos and we'll talk about them briefly because I know our listeners can't see the viral videos, but they can check them out on social media. They're all over the place. The first comes to us from Japan with Shohei Ohtani Now, if you don't know that name, you may want to get to know it, especially if you're a baseball fan. He's being called Japan's Babe Ruth, an amazing pitcher, an amazing hitter as well, which is very rare to find somebody who can be amazing on the mound as a pitcher and amazing in the batter's box as a hitter, but he is both. And proving that point at a World Baseball Classic friendly game this past weekend, he, at the Tokyo Dome, hits a ball and you see it going up, 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 and it disappears. And that's because it actually went through the Tokyo Dome. Now, what happened was there was a gap in the dome that covers the stadium, and this ball happened to find its way through that gap. So he hit it out of the park, literally, out of a domed stadium. So he's getting a lot of attention for that, that viral video making the rounds. And again, a lot of attention on what his Major League Baseball prospects could be. There's talk that he could get a contract worth upwards of $300 million, which would by far be the largest ever in Major League Baseball. So we'll see if that happens. But he's getting a lot of attention today because of this video.
When you hit a ball literally out of a park, Andrew, that has to help your marketing prospects.
Absolutely, especially when it's a domed park. I mean, there's a ceiling on the park, and you hit it out, so you can't say more than that.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, the other big viral video is what they're calling the doubles point of the year in tennis, and this comes from the ATP finals in London. We heard Chris Bowers reporting on that earlier in the show. And this is Australia's John Peers and Finland's Henri Kontinen playing against Mark Lopez and Feliciano Lopez. No relation between the Lopezes. They just have the same last name. But this point, just going back and forth, they are fighting. They are running all over the court. At one point, Feliciano Lopez runs about 3 meters off of the court to return this ball and is past the sponsor's logo that's on the court. But Piers and Kontinen end up winning the point. But it's amazing. You know, like I said, it doesn't do it justice to talk about it. Folks can find it online on Twitter. They have a moment about it on Twitter talking about it as the doubles point of the year. But a lot of fan respect for both sides that they showed such fight. And literally at the end, even I think the chair umpire was clapping at the end of the point. So it got a lot of attention from the fans.
I know with some of these rallies in tennis, they go by the number of shots, Andrew. Any idea how many shots were executed?
You know, it wasn't a particularly long rally, but the angles and the way that they were hitting the ball and where they were hitting the ball, it was full court coverage. So even though it wasn't one of the longest points, you can watch the video. It takes about 30 seconds or so. It was definitely some excellent tennis athleticism on display.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending?
Well, you know, we say that having fandom for a team and loving a team can be almost like a religion. And that is being taken literally by Manchester United's managing director. He's come out and said that the team's social media following is comparable to that of a major world religion. Now, this is...
He might be right.
This is raising some eyebrows. You know, people saying, you know, of course, you know, we follow it religiously, but maybe not compare it with a religion. Notes of the Beatles and John Lennon famously saying that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus, and they got into a lot of trouble with that. So there's some eyebrows being raised, especially if you're not a fan of Man U. You're kind of rebuking these claims and saying maybe it's a bit too far, especially comparing, you know, on social media. And the other big claim being made is a nice photo from Manny Pacquiao, where he has a photo up on Facebook that says, "Like my jacket." And he opens up the jacket and you see inside he's pasted two pictures. On one side, it's a picture of himself. On the other side, it's a picture of Floyd Mayweather. So we're seeing Manny Pacquiao maybe some making some bold claims, wanting that rematch. We'll see if that happens, but that Facebook post already has 243,000 reactions. It's been shared over 6,700 times. So I think a lot of fans want to see that rematch based on the social media. But he's the opening salvo, the opening shot coming from Manny Pacquiao.
So you could say he has Floyd close to his heart, so to speak.
He does indeed. That's one way to interpret it, but I don't think Floyd Mayweather is interpreting that way. We'll see if he responds with any of his own sartorial snaps at Manny Pacquiao.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll see you again on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the November 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports. It.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Power Africa, a U.S. government-led initiative launched by President Barack Obama in 2013, has a new partnership arrangement with the Nile Basin, or NBI, and the Nile Equatorial Lakes Subsidiary Action Program, or NELSAP. Focused on increasing regional power interconnections and generation among the Nile Equatorial Lakes countries. The Memorandum of Understanding between the United States and NBI, signed by the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the Executive Director of the NBI Secretariat, centers on collaboration, funding, and technical assistance for regional power generation among the participating Nile Basin countries. We are thrilled now to be working more closely with the United States government and USAID to increase access to renewable energy for people across the Nile Basin region and all of East Africa, said Innocent Ntabana, Executive Director of the NBI Secretariat. This new partnership between the United States, NBI, and NELSAP builds on Power Africa's broad coalition of public and private sector partners and will help accelerate progress towards our shared goal of doubling access to electricity in sub-Saharan Africa by 2030. Taylor Ruggles, the U.S. Department of State's Regional Energy Counselor for Africa, said regional integration is more important than ever, and this MOU signals a strong message to the people and governments of the region that we take the issue of energy access and connectivity seriously and are committed to making the East African power pool a reality. Power Africa's goals are to increase electricity access in sub-Saharan Africa by adding more than 30,000 megawatts of cleaner, more efficient electricity generation capacity and 60 million new home and business connections. The Nile Basin Initiative is a regional intergovernmental partnership launched by the Nile Basin countries in 1999 to manage and develop the shared Nile Basin water resources in a cooperative manner, share substantial socioeconomic benefits, and promote regional peace and security. There are 10 NBI member states: Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya, Rwanda, South Sudan, Sudan, Tanzania, and Uganda. Eritrea participates as an observer. Tina Dooley Jones, the Deputy Mission Director for the USAID Kenya and East Africa Mission, said, "NELSAP plays an important role in promoting sound regional infrastructure development and regional integration, and I am certain that this partnership will advance our common commitment to electrifying the Nile Basin region."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And Uganda. Eritrea participates as an observer. Tina Dooley Jones, the Deputy Mission Director for the USAID Kenya and East Africa Mission, said,
"On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll examine beyond the storm, treating the powerless and the powerful in Mobutu's Congo Zaire, a book written by Dr. William Close and Dr. Matudila Malonga, a Congolese physician who co-discovered Ebola in 1976. We'll also discuss the latest developments in the Democratic Republic of Congo on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.